Hi, everyone. Welcome. Today, I'm speaking with author Sarah Beek, who wrote, among other books, Red Hot and Holy, about the reality of sacred sexuality and its place and its meaning in our lives, and also, for some of us, you know, where does it live in the greater unfoldment of an intersubjective awakening, also known as the we space. It's just beginning to awaken there, and there's some things that arise as people start to feel a greater consciousness and intimacy with each other. Also, we're going to talk about what is the actuality of love and the erotic connection when lived from sacred contact with ourselves and with each other and with the divine, and what is the proper alignment of an intimate relationship, if there is one, you know, that leads to this sort of ecstatic, delicate and passionate dimension of love and awakening. So Sarah is a beautiful and brilliant woman. She's a Harvard-trained scholar of comparative world religions who spent years traveling the world and studied spirituality. She's had a very diverse and rich life, you know, from whirling dervishes to meeting the Dalai Lama on her 21st birthday, and taking the host from a Croatian Catholic mystic who had the stigmata, to having really life-altering visions with shamans and pretty much everything in between. And she's, in her book, Red Hot and Holy, you know, one of the reasons why I so much wanted to talk to Sarah was, you know, she shared, you know, a pretty powerful and unique relationship to the sacred touch and the sacred divine, and so I wanted to speak to her today. So welcome, Sarah.
No, thank you. It's so good to be here with you again.
Yeah, thank you. So maybe we could start with, you know, often people consider sexuality spirit separate from spirituality. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are a lot of people that have never had, you know, the experience or the mind-blowing experience of really having those two things completely merged. So do you want to speak a little bit about, you know, that for yourself and, you know, how that is for you?
Yeah. So most of what I can share really just comes from my own experience. I think sacred sexuality, there's, you know, just some incredible books out there and people speaking about it and tantric teachers, and there's just, thankfully, a real plethora of information. But what I really can only speak to is what has happened from my own experience. And I kind of hope that in doing so, that kind of welcomes people into their own personal experience with sexuality and with the sacred. So for me, I was always fascinated by sexuality since I was a really little girl. And I actually remember, like, walking down the aisle of my church as, like, a little girl and, like, swinging my hips and, like, loving the feel of it, and then also getting, like, looks from people like, what is this girl doing in church? And so I think, like, a lot of us, you know, we had that real natural experience and expression of a real organic and erotic connection with life and our body and feelings and all of that when we were younger. And in particular, because I was raised Catholic up to a point, I also felt that opposition come in really soon to that, really telling me that that wasn't appropriate. This is not how you should be walking down a church aisle. This is just not how you should be sharing yourself or showing yourself. And, you know, for some legit reasons, for some protection reasons, and, you know, there's some really good reasons why we have to manage our sexuality, but they're also in the more like spiritual arena, there's some other reasons there. And so those reasons, like, why are we shutting this down, really became something that I pursued for years, both in the academy studying mystical traditions and the erotic dimensions of mystical dimensions. And then after I left academia, that was when I started actually having much more of my own personal experiences with what this meant for me. And this is a process that is still unfolding. And mm-hmm. as you mentioned, some of it happened more through actually, like, spontaneously and, you know, not through any practice or anything, but really just very spontaneously, and started to happen with different different people that I would meet and have these encounters with. And now I'm in the part of my life where I'm in more of an intimate, monogamous relationship, and that's where I feel like things are sort of growing and pushing into a whole new level. So that's sort of like the outline. If there's anything in that that you want me to dive into, just let me know.
Perfect beginning. So speak a little bit, because it was, you know, you were very brave in your book sharing about, you know, what, wait, just to backtrack for a second. I mean, I think one of the things is that women in particular, you know, the direct experience of being shown things or having things arise in us is I think more often how it occurs rather than somebody studying Tantra or, like you were saying, like you were learning what it all meant, you know, sort of from an academic perspective and studying from various religious traditions, but then you're shown, you know, something starts to actually happen in and through you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So speak about the first part, because it was interesting, you know, your experience of what started to happen through you and then what you came to understand about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so often what we're the most like attracted to or we're sort of studying, you know, either through books or teachers or workshops is obviously like a part of ourself that we're sort of searching for, you know, like it's mirroring back to us. So when, let's see, trying to think like when the time period was. It was definitely after graduate school, and it was after my first book came out. And it was really when my well, it just happened really spontaneously. I'll just say this: like the first time, and it was actually I was having a meeting with a creative partner of mine, and we were working on a project, and we were talking about the project. And the project involved the divine feminine and what this means in the world. And so it definitely had some rich material that we were dialoguing about. And I remember just getting this really strong impulse, which also sort of was accompanied by like a voice. And the voice is my soul voice. It's really what I've come to know as my own being, my own divine essence. And it tends to show up in a very feminine sort of way. And I just heard this her voice just sort of be like, stop talking. And so I stopped talking and my partner continued, you know, going on about this project. And I could begin to feel things like in me and in the room start to subtly shift into something. And I remember kind of being like awkward, you know, and like embarrassed, like I don't really know what's going on here, but I'm just going to I'm going to shut up like I got the guidance to do. And then I remember my lady, this inner voice just sort of telling me, you know, go pour you two a glass of wine. And this, again, wasn't the most, like, common thing that I would do with a, like, creative meeting, you know? I did that, and I remember, you know, taking a few sips, and he took a few sips. And then I remember, again, just this feeling, this sort of inner guidance that was asking me to feel deeper, to feel what was going on in my own body, to feel what was going on in the room, and also to feel into this man. And so I did, and something sort of opened in me. It's not something I could have tried for, but it was just sort of an opening. And then from that moment on, it just felt very organic and very natural. Like my body and my being started to lean towards him and actually started to touch him in various ways and to say things in various ways to him. And, you know, and at first there was definitely sort of confusion, like, what's going on? And at first this man reacted in a way that I think any of us would have reacted when, like, your creative partner all of a sudden looks through maybe the ego's eyes to be, like, putting the moves on you. when actually what was happening was, like, a bigger movement, like a movement with a capital M, was actually trying to move through both of us, and I just happened to be the one that was listening and hearing and sort of like acting on it in that moment. And so very quickly, I said and stated and sort of with this inner guidance really to hold the container. So this wasn't like someone putting the moves on someone. This wasn't a makeout session. This wasn't like there was actually something deeper trying to reveal itself between us. And if we could allow it, then we would see what happened. And then a lot of profound things happened that night. And I can't speak for him. You know, I know he shared with me afterwards some of what it was like for him, but I do know for myself that night I really had the experience for the first time really in my body that the divine and the erotic were one. I really understood that what was happening in that moment was probably the most holy thing I had ever encountered and participated in. And the thing about it was it didn't feel all like mystical woo-woo, bang, bang, bang. It felt like, oh, this is actually how we're supposed to be touching and relating to each other when it is, when the time is ready for that, when it's actually being called forth, that this deeper love, this deeper touch with a capital T, this deeper experience of life and skin and heart and truth is so aching for this. And it was a touch that had no agenda. It had no technique. It had no try for it. It just felt like life reaching out to life and love. And then it continued after that. It was a very interesting experience of just sort of going about my days. And I would be in Whole Foods, or I'd be at a spiritual workshop, or I'd be in a yoga class, and I would just get these hits, you know, kind of deep down in my belly, that there was a person that we were supposed to have this experience together with, and I wouldn't have to do anything. Like, somehow it would work out that we would be able to be private together, and the boundaries were always pretty clear. I wasn't perfect at them, but they were always like pretty clear that, again, this wasn't like dating and they weren't necessarily going to get laid. Like, this was actually a practice of allowing this love, this sort of love force, to erupt naturally between us. So it was a really heated, incredibly transformative, very empowering and also sort of mentally confusing time during my life, because I didn't quite know how or where this fit in. Later, I found sources that talked about, for instance, the sacred prostitute archetype that actually traced some of these practices back to different ancient times where women enacted different roles, ranging from priestess roles to healer roles to other things, in order to let this happen. But the thing I want to be really clear about is why I really respect this archetype big time. and I understand there's a very convoluted and sort of controversial history around the reality of this practice with priestesses and priests and women and men of all different types. And it is, I really want to sort of make sure that this is not specialized or sort of sensationalized or separated in any way from any of us, that this is actually inside all of us, just this very natural remembrance and ability to truly touch another and to touch life.
Definitely. What's interesting, I mean, I would imagine, I'm not sure how it would be for men, but for women who have touched on that, it's so real, but it's also a very like confusing, because you have no place to put it in your own mind.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. I mean, I had a different experience, but it was with a lover that I was with, where, you know, we had many, you know, sort of on an ongoing sacred connection, and the sexuality and where it was taking us was just, you know, I didn't know about Tantra. I didn't know about any of those things. And we were just sort of inside a world together. But I could feel, often I'd think, what is that? That's so strange. I could feel all of a sudden, I mean, that energy. But then I would experience the almost personal, impersonal quality of it, where I could imagine, like, being with someone other than him, and just, like, literally it was so life-giving and it was so beautiful. Like, you could imagine it lifting someone up, and it wasn't me. And it was always a little bit like, what is that? Like, that's so strange.
Yeah.
Why would I even think that?
But that's part of that. I mean, just from my, this is just one label and one lens, but that that in one way is how people would describe an aspect. It's not the full aspect, because everyone has the sacred prostitute archetype inside them, I would venture to say, men and women, and it shows up in a variety of ways. It does not mean you have to go, like, touch people, you know, like I did or anything like that. It shows up completely differently for each person. It's, to me, the sacred prostitute is really about coming back to life and to passion in life and to feeling life and to, to understanding the erotic as life. And so that's, going to show up so differently for each of us. But there is actually also that interesting potential reality that did live on this planet, according to some lenses, that this was actually, you know, an act. This was actually a practice, that there were actually women and men that did this in order to help other people reconnect with the divine inside them in order to heal other people. There are stories of the sacred prostitutes, how the men would come back from war and they would first go to them before they came home to their wives in order to really release and not carry this stuff over to their wives, in order to reconnect with their humanity, in order to forgive themselves for any things that they might have thought that they needed to be forgiven, and that the priestesses were trained in this. And it wasn't personal, you know, although it deeply enveloped and embraced the individual. It wasn't about a personal, you know, relationship. It was about relationship with life and with love and with the divine feminine and with the divine masculine that's inside each of us. Yeah. So there is that impersonal piece, and that was definitely something that I was very much immersed in during that time, and I got that. I was like, this is so much bigger than me, or like a relationship, or, but it is a relationship with a capital R, but it's, you know, what is this, and what do I do with this? You know, like, I wasn't sure. I mean, even like, do I tell people I'm dating that I'm also doing this on the side? Like, how does this work, you know, in the world? And, you know, in these days, This archetype is definitely like arising, so you can find, you know, websites where this is happening and people who have really like adopted that label and this, you know, fully called themselves a sacred prostitute or a sexual healer or sometimes they use the word dakini or tantrika, and so that is going on right now. You know, it's sort of being reinvoked, and what I do know is that for me it brought up both the real honest holiness that is present in this role and in this way that we can all step into at any point. And it also brought up the shadow aspects of sort of the sexual culture and my own internal shadows, and those, both, all of that sort of had to arise together. And so that sort of kept me from ever, like, fully associating with that role or, like, for instance, like, creating a website. I was like, this is what I do. And so I got kind of really immersed in it, and then I also really came out of that role at a very important time in my life. And a lot of that was in order to really look at the shadow of this aspect that was also present. But I do know for so many women that I've talked to, and like you were sharing, this is something that comes alive, sort of comes online for us at different points in our life. And this could just be with our monogamous partner. This could be with someone we dated. This could be, you know, through what I experienced. But the one thing I want to just always like say is to be really gentle with it and to really honor and to treat it with respect, you know, and to not reach out too fast or too furious into like what's happening outside, you know, into these websites or workshops or classes and books, but to try to stay as present as possible to your own particular unfolding of it and knowing of it, because I think that's what we're just trying to show ourselves in this practice. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I would imagine, I mean, I think it would be very rare, you know, that someone would be clear enough to not have some part of them that was using that.
Yeah.
And then also to deal with a world that doesn't understand that, you know, that's like a really tricky line to walk down. But you know, obviously it's, you know, in the awakening of, you know, the world in which, or the, you know, awakening the access that we have to something greater to share, you know, from ourselves and with, you know, the person that we love, like in a more holy way. It's obviously, you know, part of the panorama of what seems to wake up. So, what about, you know, now? So, I mean, because a lot of people, I think, you know, generally look at sexuality and eroticism and stuff from a, you know, a more secular, you know, more of, you know, it's hot, it's beautiful. If you love your partner, you know, it can be a greater way to express, you know, just loving each other and having something be, you know, really intense and beautiful. But I don't know how many people really open up into the place that, you know, you were saying where, you know, sexuality is just imbued with, if it's allowed, you know, like the most sacred ground of all, not because you're trying to make it so, but that it innately wants to express itself, you know, with its full connection to the divine. So in your, you know, what is your experience now? I mean, you're in a you know, like an intimate relationship with someone. You know, how has that changed for you, if you're willing to talk about that?
Well, just to give, like, a very brief, like, little background, like, part of why I stopped sort of touching people with a capital T was because I really had a realization that I was actually kind of missing an aspect of my soul and very disembodied, and there was a lot of sort of hitting a bunch of sacred wounds at once in my life and went through what I call sort of a red night of the soul. And I went into a cocoon for like 3.5-4 years. And in that was when I really had to face, you know, epic shadow shit. So both the sort of more darker shadow and the lighter shadow of myself. And in that time period, I wasn't touching anybody. And I was very, very alone in the physical sense, not so much in the spiritual sense, but very much going through a real, like, sort of burning and dismantlement of what I knew of myself and the divine. And so coming out of that and then entering into an intimate relationship, like, I knew my ass was about to get kicked, like, in a whole different area. Because part of my shadow with sort of what I would call more my sort of sacred prostitute archetype days, some of the shadows that were lingering underneath that was a real deep fear of intimacy. And it's paradoxical because on one hand, when I was touching people, I had never felt sort of more intimate. But I was missing sort of the more daily in and out, like, human intimacy piece. It's one thing to sort of come in and have a profound experience with someone and then leave and never see them again. It's something else to be living with someone and really watching all of your patterns and habits sort of come up that you didn't even know were present that can only come out through intimate relationship, and then really saying, well, what's erotic about this? Like, what's going on here? So that's really what I've been sinking into and experiencing and watching, really, really coming to understand that a huge fear of mine has been actually allowing the sort of full expression, or I don't even know if we call it full, but a bigger expression of my unique sexual nature to show up in an intimate relationship. There's actually like a lot of resistance there. And so a lot of the resistance comes from really knowing, and I think this is true for all of us, but just really feeling deep inside that, so this is sort of a big statement, and this definitely comes from some wounding, so just bear with me, but just like how fucking screwed up sexuality is on this planet, and how big these programs have sort of divorced me from my own divine knowing of my own unique sexuality. And also, obviously, I've participated in that. I've allowed that. I've perpetuated it, you know, unconsciously and consciously. But really coming up against, you know, what I would call almost like the sexual matrix on this planet. There's And that, to me, has been the big sort of like shattering, that I actually cannot go anywhere. I know when things have gotten sort of, you know, intense in this relationship, there's this want in me to like want to reach out and maybe go to a workshop or read that book or like do that thing to try to fix this or to know what this is or to be more like the hot sexy goddess that I know I am or like all those things there. And my lady, this sort of deep inner guiding presence of me, is just really clear that much of those things are still embedded in the matrix, even if they sound spiritual, even if they, you know, promise all these things, and that the part of me that's reaching out is coming from a wounded part. And that until that wound is really like integrated and seen and faced, I should really stay put inside myself and keep inviting my own distinct being's sexual knowing and nature to show me, to guide me what this is. And so I think some of the shock was like taking the red pill in the sexual arena, taking the red pill in human relationship arena and just being like, oh my God, like it's everywhere. I thought I was beyond it, or just because I've, you know, liberally educated or a feminist or like, you know, all this stuff. But I was like, it is in my freaking cells. Like it is so everywhere. And so really going through the process of excavating that and being willing to trace the roots of it and being willing to disentangle from it. And the fear around disentangling from it is because part of the programs that immediately show up for me, at least, and I don't think I'm alone in this, but when I start to, is those old paradigms that, well, then no one's going to find you sexy, no one's going to want to be with you, your partner will leave you, like all these sort of classic, sort of entrained models of what happens when you actually start to liberate your own being from these matrices. They all those things are going to show up as very felt, physical, emotional, mental, psychological, spiritual, energetic fears and pains, because it's happened. I mean, we look around, you know, we see older men leaving their wives for younger women. We see, we're constantly, you know, assaulted with images of what's sexy. And even in the spiritual sexual arena, we're still sort of, there's a lot of twisted stuff going on, in my opinion. So there's all of that I am weeding through right now and experiencing my relationship with all of that and really honestly just praying, you know, daily to what I know of as the divine feminine, the divine masculine, and my own being, to keep reminding me what organic life, organic love, organic sexuality is, and how it unfolds in my own body. And as you were saying before, and I think this is this interesting part, deep down, like, we really know the sacredness of this. Like, this isn't just fluffy words. Like this entire universe was created, in my opinion, in my experience, from my memories, out of this lovemaking. Like, yeah. It is so powerful. It is life itself. It is life loving itself, and it is love creating life. It is so powerful. It is us. It's everything that we see around us. And so when we see things that have twisted that or used that or how our wounds have sort of grabbed it and sort of, you know, run away with it, there's a grief around it and a confusion. And it takes a lot of willingness to wade through what is true and what is not true with sexuality.
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm in right now.
Yeah. I hear you. It's interesting, because I've never particularly talked about this. I wanted to do this with you. As a teacher, I haven't, you know, like ever had a conversation just about this. So it's kind of, it's interesting, you know, to be with you. And I think for me, because I never particularly, you know, I started to work with people and do all that stuff too young. Like, I wasn't on the planet long enough to get into too much trouble. and so I had a sort of innocent relationship to sexuality. You know, I wasn't particularly using it one way or the other, you know, even though I was a relatively attractive young woman. So when I met Peter, who was a very, who was a mystic, but had, you know, intense sexual energy. I mean, he was one of those Dionysian, I mean, he was like Dionysus, you know, it was like meeting that archetype.
Nice.
So, really, and somehow, path that we ended up taking was seemed very direct. It seemed like because the wholehearted experience of, you know, him being mystical and me having done, you know, a lot of spiritual work and having been in service of people, and I'd already had a child, you know, I had a 4-year-old when I met him, so I had sort of been initiated into the love of the profound love of being a mother as well. And somehow by just continuously saying yes to each other, and yes, you know, we just, whatever was there, we were willing to be with however the sexuality was in any given moment. We weren't ever trying to, like, do anything, stop anything or start anything or, you know, just we, for some reason, we had our hands off the wheel. And so it could go anywhere. And without any breathing or, you know, any of the stuff, like, you know, that I heard about later that people teach in Tantra things and, you know, that I have some suspicion about because I think the ego uses almost everything to manipulate, is we just kept going. And, you know, he ended up not wanting, you know, this is a guy who, like, if he didn't have an orgasm a day, he could practically not sleep at night. And, you know, really, I mean, it was just designed that way. And it got to the place where we just went into that place where he didn't want to. Like, we went into, I think, a true, you know, consistent, sustained place of Tantra, and we never cared if it stopped and we just had fun or, I mean, we had our hands off the wheel, and my body was transfigured. I mean, it was like the whole thing. We were just taken into such love and the consciousness and the energy and the purity of what happened for both of us just kept going, you know, until he died, actually. So I am a strong believer of that it's possible. It's all in us. Like what you're saying, like it's all there. I mean, you don't need to learn anything from anybody.
Yeah.
I think if you love enough and you're willing to be at least awake, you know, that spiritually, you know, you have some capacity for meditation and whatever else, you know, you're not just an ego, you know, you're not just not knowing who you are at all, that something, it's there.
Yeah.
It's just there. It's like it's always there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the beauty of that, and like you were saying, like I feel like really the planet is, you know, the whole thing is one big lovemaking. You know, when you see the spring happening in New York and, you know, people and babies and dogs and everybody, you know, when you feel that in your body, and I know you know this, it's like the whole thing feels like a lover.
Yeah.
You know, my cats were like that, you know, and you just pet them and they'd reach out with their paw and they'd stick it on your face and you'd think, ah, you know, like, and there it is again, you know, I mean, it's just... So I don't know. So anyway, just I appreciate your sharing what you shared because it sparked that sharing. So,
thank you for sharing that. It is such a gift. It's such a gift.
I mean, love is to me that you can let, you know, like you were talking about intimacy, that you can let yourself be unprotected, you know, so destroyed, you know, so willing to love, like, in a way that you can never recover.
Yeah.
I think that's part of the ticket, you know, that's part of the, you know, what the divine says, you know, says, okay, could you pay this at the door, you know, before you walk into a world?
Yeah.
And I often think that's missing in what people are, you know, when they are trying to open up some of these things, not you in particular, but like other people, you know, it's kind of like, where's the, you know, throwing yourself into the love that turns into the love of God with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is what I honestly think each of us is actually grieving.
Yeah.
And we are not aware of that grief. We're not aware that how we've been sort of taught to have sex, or that, you know, the everything that's out there right now, ranging from porn to like a magazine cover, like how all of it is actually in some level, sort of assaulting life, you know, in a way that we know it should actually be touched very right. differently, and it should be treated very differently. And this isn't to, like, meaning it has to be treated in a, you know, some prescribed way, or you have to light incense, or, like, everything you were saying. It doesn't mean you have to do right. all this stuff. It means that you are really allowing love to show you what you are truly made of, and you're allowing love to sort of come in and already be and to recognize how it already is your body. And for me, that's also involved showing me all the parts that have been closed to love and closed to actually allowing it to be my body with somebody else, to be my body as I walk down the street, to all the places that I've shut down to love. Love is like knocking on those doors, and they're coming up through some, you know, painful ways, and they're also coming up through some incredibly pleasurable ways. But it's this love. So the grieving, I think, is something that I've also been sort of surprised and not surprised to experience within my own self. And I think, you know, sort of the analogy with the red pill taking, I know for me around sexuality, has sort of been a bit of that surprise of like, I can't believe how much, even though I studied this and I believed in this, there are still parts of me that very much were part of this matrix here and very much went along with things because I wasn't sure what my own authentic expression and experience of lovemaking are. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, and we can see then, I mean, I think it just naturally goes hand in hand also with just becoming ourselves, like what that actually means. I know everyone has different ideas around that and labels for that. But for me, it's really like, how do I incarnate my distinct divine being in my flesh? And how do I allow life to be revealed even more so in my body, and how I'm touching the plate, and how I'm touching my keyboard, and how I'm touching another with my voice, and how I'm touching them with my skin? And that has been, for me, a very ecstatic experience and an incredibly excruciating experience. Mm-hmm. And both yeah. of those together also for me feel like life, you know, that I'm not just, I'm not only seeking the pleasure and the ecstasy, but I'm seeking the real, you know, with the capital R, because the being willing to see and feel and be the real to me is love. That is an act of love. So I sort of went on a tangent there.
No, not at all. There are no tangents here. But imagine too, the world. You know, there's also something that happens. You know, when you let that amount of love, you know, that you are, like you were saying, there's a grief around it. But as you reclaim, you know, your capacity for that kind of lion-hearted, full-bodied, you know, just exploding kind of love, you know, there's a huge amount of beauty that comes through it as well.
Yeah.
You know, so the eros, and then you're like beautified, you know, even if you're not beautiful and you happen to be beautiful, you know, you become even more just gorgeous and radiant, and, you know, that energy is just like pouring through your skin into the world, you know,
yeah.
that... It's, you know, there's not a holding for that. You know, that is so misunderstood, and it doesn't feel like the world is particularly safe even, you know, to know how to navigate, you know,
yeah.
staying alive in it.
Yeah, that's a huge one, and that was actually,
yeah.
that was when I stopped touching people in that way at that time in my life, there was this realization that you know, it could change, it could whatever, but at least for me at the time, there was really this, again, the grief word, around recognizing that what this is, this type of love and this type of touching in this particular way, this planet actually didn't feel ready for it. Not trying to say, like, oh, it's so advanced, but it's just more like, because there are so many wounds and confusions and bullshit,
right.
and the matrix is so thick around it, that it actually began for me towards the end of my practice with this, began to feel dangerous. And that's when, you know, like my lady put a kibosh, like it was like, we're done. Like in that particular way, there's like, and that, but that was sort of this sadness was just like the honest purity. And I'm not talking purity in like the sort of lower way. I'm talking about the purity that comes from just the being love and just allowing, and not even in a new age fluffy way, just this is the hardcore fierce shit. And this is pure, and it's a purity we all are and have. And when that is being revealed and we sort of activated in us, it is so crazy then to get a reaction from the outside world that it is impure, that what we are doing is sinful, is wrong, is evil, is, or even, you know, there's so many things. And I know for me, with my work and even with some of my public presence, like it's been confusing for certain people. And I remember going, you know, through the Red Tent and really having to face the shadow, the sort of the underbelly of my own sacred prostitute, and which what I would just call is like the prostitute, which is just sort of where unconsciously I have been selling out in my past, or I was misusing my sexuality in a way to draw attention or to stay in control, or, you know, a variety of different things, to be loved, to be adored, to actually use the energy people were giving me, or if they were attracted to me in some way, actually feeding off that energy. And for me, like a big teaching of this, you know, from my lady and the divine feminine is just that, like an authentic, and this is an archetype again that everyone has inside them, but an authentic priestess, like you are not taking life unconsciously or from an energetic level. You are constantly offering, you are giving life. And so it's a practice for me that became central. You know, am I adding to life? Am I giving life? Am I offering? Am I allowing myself to be an offering to life with no strings attached, not even on a multidimensional shadow level? And that took a lot of work and a lot of clearing up and a lot of facing to do, and it's something I still have to watch. And I remember going through all that, and then when I, and part of this was, part of this time period was when I was writing Red Hot and Holy, and started to come in really clear that I was supposed to be on the cover, a picture of me was supposed to be on the cover of this book. And I had a lot of resistance, a tremendous amount of resistance towards it. And I finally got to the place where with my lady, I began to understand on a conscious level, but I began to understand on a deeper level that this needed to happen. And I went to a photo shoot. I remember getting all the photos back, and I remember the photo that's now on the cover. I was going through them all, like, very fast, just like boom, 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 boom. Because, you know, when you go to a photo shoot, you get, like, 250 photos, and I was just flipping through them, boom, 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 boom. And I hit this photo, and my whole entire body was like, that's the one. And my ego completely flipped. It was just like, there is no way I'm putting that on the cover. And especially because of what I had been through with really having to see my shadow and really being like, oh, my God, if that's on the cover, then people are going to think that. They're going to think I'm prostituting myself. They're going to think it's a pretty girl book. They're going to, you know, the feminists are going to go crazy. Like, it's just, it's too typical. You know, it's like, I don't even want to fucking deal with all the shit that's going to come from that. And it got to such an intense point. I mean, I went ahead with a cover, and I remember I did have a feminist reach out to me before the book was published, begging me to change the cover, and it kind of threw this all up in my face again. And then, you know, my lady just sort of sat my ass down at the couch, and she was just like, this is you and I together. This is a soul and a body being together and being willing to be seen together. Now, whether others get that or don't is none of your business. Like, that's your business beautiful. Is just being the beauty of a soul and a body together and being willing to be seen. And that shift, like, something in me, my cells, like, sort of got to attention, because whenever your divine being is sort of kicking your ass in that way, like, everything, you get it. Like, my body got it, and the picture literally transformed in front of my eyes. It transformed from what I was fearing everyone was going to think or see or project onto it into the actual truth of how my body and my lady were holding each other publicly. And it transformed. And I still get stuck. You know, people are still, I don't know, or blah, 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 and I know it confuses people. And, in fact, the book is up for reprinting in the paperback, and even my publisher has been like, let's change the cover. And I kind of have to go through this again and again, as constantly inquiring to make sure if this is still needed, if this is still true. Is anything shifted energetically? Is there something I need to clear? And just really trying to listen.
I hate to interrupt you, but we have, like, 1 minute.
Oh, sure. I'm done.
I want to make sure. Sorry. But I wanted to just, before we get cut off, I really want to just thank you for, you know, a beginning conversation. You know, I feel like it's, you know, like you said, you know, the matrix is thick. And, you know, we're just beginning to scratch the surface of, you know, what it would take to actually wake up here, you know, ourselves, and then also, you know, together. So I just want to thank you for your beauty and your courage and just being the outrageously beautiful, wonderful woman that you are. So thank you for sharing
with me. Likewise. Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for sharing more of your story, because it is so gorgeous, and it's so important for all of us to hear.
Thank you, Sarah.